This is a reading of the early lectures of Rudolf Steiner entitled The Christian Mystery. This is lecture 6.2, entitled John's Gospel as a Record of Initiation, the first 12 chapters, given on February 12, 1906 in Cologne. The disciple who wrote John's Gospel described first of all his own experience. The first through 12th chapters are experiences in the astral world, while the following chapters describe events on the devachanic plane. This is very significant and characteristic for our study. John describes experiences on the astral plane because he is convinced that what Christ accomplished here on the earth can be understood only when seen in the light of the spiritual. What the Master said and did can be understood only by placing oneself in a higher state. Through inner development, a person can come to the point of really seeing in the astral world. This is achieved through very specific kinds of meditations. A human being must be closed off against the external world, and the soul filled with eternal truths. A new world then arises all around. What Christ Jesus did on the earth can be judged in the right way only by being elevated into a higher world. What one had experienced with Jesus in the physical world became understandable only when seen astrally. Those who wanted to experience what Jesus had done had, through the appropriate Christian meditation, to place themselves in a state by means of which they could come to an understanding of Christ in the soul realm. John first says this in the introduction to his Gospel. The words, from the beginning to, quote, "and the darkness did not comprehend it," unquote, constitute a meditative prayer. If the soul experiences what is contained in these sentences, the inner soul forces necessary to understand the first 12 chapters are awakened. Quote, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," unquote. This ancient truth was vividly portrayed in all the ancient mysteries, particularly in those with an Egyptian coloring. Words fill the air with their sounds, otherwise we would not be able to hear them. The shapes and forms of the words we speak are in the air. If, while I am speaking, the air could suddenly be made rigid and inflexible, the sound waves vibrating in the air would fall to the ground as solid, rigid bodies. The teacher in the ancient mysteries made the following point very clear to the student. Just as human beings speak and release their inner life into the air, so too the soul of the world spoke into a much finer matter, into Akashic matter, and these words then solidified. Everything that surrounds us is the condensed word of God. The teacher of the mysteries thus said that the world around us is the frozen word of God, the frozen logos. Quote, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God," unquote. It was still in its inwardness. It was itself a God. Then it filled space and became rigid. This logos is now everywhere. Everywhere around us we have the crystalline precipitate of the logos. But when life arises, the logos arises, so to speak, from a condition of sleep. In the human being it becomes the light of knowledge. Through our knowing, God, who first descended into the world, comes to meet us out of this world. We must live into the world completely in order to penetrate it so deeply that we become aware that the logos lives in the world. What originally occurred was the creation of the physical human being. The spiritual human being then entered the physical being. The light shone in the darkness, but the darkness did not comprehend it at first. With the further development of the human being came the content of the astral vision of truth. Then human beings realized what Christ Jesus was and what his teaching signified, that the time had become ripe to bring forth a reversed Adam, a new Adam. The human being had descended into a body and thereby arose birth and death. The light penetrated into the darkness. At that point, the human being was to be led upward again in order to understand that life is the victor over death. The forerunner, John the Baptist, appeared. The Baptist proclaimed that the old, which still stood entirely under the sign of what divine powers had long ago created, was to be taken over and superseded by a new kingdom. Previously it had been said that God would destroy you if your actions opposed the law. The new kingdom, however, is what human beings can experience within themselves when they experience God. The Old Testament represented the idea that we must accommodate ourselves to the commands of God. The New Testament says that the human being should follow God voluntarily. That is the love for the good. It is prophetically proclaimed he must increase. Christ, the representative of the new, must increase. John, who is only his forerunner, must decrease. Two great moments touch here, appearing in John's vision, where everything is made visible in an imaginative pictorial state. But at the same time, the real baptism appears to the spiritual sight of John, along with his historical mission. The entire mission of Christianity now arises before him. This he describes in the second chapter. Let us look back into ancient primeval times, into those times that lie at least 2,000 years before Christ. There were at that time the wise ones, who had advanced so far that they were initiated into the mysteries. The sacrifice of water was a certain symbol involved in those mysteries. The priest of wisdom used water as a symbol. It is a law that the human being is closed off from the higher spiritual world through the use of alcohol. Human beings seeking to raise themselves into the spiritual world are not allowed to drink wine, not even wine used in sacrificial offerings. The mission of Christianity is characterized by the marriage at Cana. The ancient priests of wisdom possessed the most sublime teachings concerning the Spirit, which had been given out of the deepest sources of knowledge. But ancient pagan culture lacked one thing, the conquest of the physical world. Their external, cultural life, along with their tools, were still extremely primitive. Human beings still did not have an immediate connection with what was to take place here below directly on the earth. Human beings had to be limited to the earth in order for them to learn to master it. They had to become strong and then consecrate the lower earthly human being. This culture was prepared by great teachers who pointed out the significance of the physical plane. Egyptian art is majestic in its understanding of the spiritual, but not when it comes to forming and shaping on the physical plane. All of Greek art consists in bringing the human being down to the physical plane. Roman law is also something that leads the human being down to the physical plane. The worship service of Dionysus is connected to all of this. The representative of wine is even presented as a god. The introduction of wine into the evolution of humankind is portrayed in a sublime way in the story of the marriage at Cana in Galilee. In truth, the point is to show that water stands higher than wine. The water was transformed into wine because the human being was to be led down to the physical plane. With all of our institutions today, we have come down to the physical plane. Unless a moral cultural life accompanies earthly life on the physical level, the physical achievements work destructively. By developing morality, we are able to create forces entirely different from those now present in the physical world. Keeley set his motor in motion through vibrations he had created in his own organism. Footnote: John Ernst Worrell Keeley, 1827-1898, American engineer who claimed in 1873 the invention of a perpetual motion engine, generally considered a fraud. He subsequently formed the Keeley Motor Company. Whether Steiner's explication has been recorded accurately in these incomplete manuscripts must remain an open question. End of footnote. Such vibrations are connected to the moral nature of the human being and represent the first rays of light for what will become technology in the future. In the future, we will have machines that can be set in motion only if the forces come from human beings who are moral. Immoral people will not be able to set such machines in motion. Purely mechanical mechanisms will be transformed into moral mechanisms. The spiritual scientific worldview prepares for this ascent. Christianity had first to lead people down to earth. Now Christianity must lead humanity upward again. Wine must be transformed back into water. John's vision went beyond physical reality. What the Lord did, his mission, appeared to the disciple John in the vision of the marriage at Cana in Galilee. Such is the nature of the first 12 chapters of John's Gospel. It does not say that Mary asked him, but rather the mother of Jesus. We are dealing here with a mystical way of expressing truth. All forms of mysticism regard the mother as the one who must be fructified if the human being is to ascend to a higher level. And Jesus had the task of lifting the whole of humankind's consciousness to a higher level. The consciousness of all of humankind demanded of him that he lift it up to a higher level. Therefore Jesus could say, quote, "Woman, what have I to do with you?" Unquote. Jesus would not have said that to his own mother. On the third day there was a marriage feast. This signifies that John lay for 3 days in the sleep of initiation. Then the vision of the marriage feast at Cana came to him. During the 3 day sleep he experienced what was happening in the spiritual world. On the third day he had the vision of the marriage at Cana. All that follows are events he saw through his astral vision. The conversation with Nicodemus follows in the third chapter. The Lord himself always appears to John in astral vision. What is to happen to John comes to meet him in the conversation with Nicodemus. John expresses himself clearly. At first Nicodemus does not understand him. It is supposed to become clear to John himself. It is explained to him in a vision that what is at stake is the dying of the lower human being and a revival of the higher human being. He gradually becomes aware of who Jesus really is, that the original forces of the world are living in Jesus. The Father of the world himself lives in him. That is why the speeches concerning the Father follow. The power of the spiritual forces of at Jesus' disposal come to meet John as an astral reflection of the real events. Everything described really happened, but John experiences them in an astral vision. In this way, John learns the deepest truths from the Lord himself. The encounter with the woman of Samaria follows in the fourth chapter. The Lord says to her, quote, "You have had 5 husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband," unquote. She is to be lifted up to her higher self. In order for this to happen, she must go through her lower bodies, who are the former husbands. Now she must be united with her higher self, who is her new husband. In the story of the man born blind, it becomes clear that it is the karma of the man born blind that has led to his becoming blind. The first events in John's Gospel are astral experiences. Is it not then natural for John himself not to be present, since he is experiencing everything in picture consciousness? John does not appear in the first 12 chapters. There he is not yet the disciple, because he sees all of this on the astral plane. Then he undergoes the sleep of initiation. He is to be advanced to a higher level. This happens after he lives through the experiences of the 3 days and into the fourth day. The initiation lasts for 3.5 days. There appears to him his own initiation, the reawakening of his own self. That is the resurrection of Lazarus. Lazarus is the author of John's Gospel. Martha and Mary are the 2 states of consciousness of his soul, the divine, and the soul turned more toward life on earth. The description of the Lazarus miracle is the description of a higher initiation. The 12th chapter prepares the way for actual love of the personality of Jesus. John says this himself, quote, "Now I recognize him who awakened me," unquote. The higher development of John begins with the 13th chapter. Every word of John's Gospel becomes understandable to us if we take it as an experience of John's. He is becoming conscious within his I-being, without any picture consciousness. He consciously becomes the disciple whom the Lord loved. The end of Lecture 6.2.